Welcome everyone to the Score Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Boone, the lead fantasy analyst at the Score. Always appreciate you downloading and listening to the show every week. And we got plenty to discuss with our guest today. But before we bring her in, let's go over my three unapologetically bold predictions for week 13, courtesy of our friends at Captain Morgan. And my first bold prediction this week, Jaylen Warren and Najee Harris will finish as top 15 fantasy backs against the Cardinals. And this one might not even be as bold as it sounds. Despite all the Steelers' struggles this season, over the last month, Warren is the RB12 and Harris is the RB18 in fantasy points per game. Meanwhile, the Cardinals are the second easiest matchup for running backs, and they just allowed Kyren Williams and Royce Freeman to accomplish this feat last week. So get ready for the Steelers to lean on their ground game as big favorites at home. My next bold prediction, Tyreek Hill racks up 200 yards versus the Commanders. Now, only three receivers have had 200-yard games this season. It's Hill, DJ Moore, and Keenan Allen. And Moore did it against this same Washington defense that Hill is going to face this week. And don't forget, Tyreek Hill, he's chasing history here. He's trying to become the first receiver to ever reach 2,000 yards in a season. And what better time to add to that total than against the Commanders, who give up the second most yards through the air. So expect a monster game from Tyreek in this one. And then my final bold prediction, Brock Purdy is a top three fantasy quarterback in week 13. We know about the weapons in that 49ers offense. We also know how much San Francisco wants to win this game. They lost the NFC title to the Eagles. Purdy got hurt in that contest. The Niners are going to be motivated with him healthy now, and that might be contributing to the fact that they're favored on the road in Philadelphia. But if we focus on Purdy, he dominated his last two matchups against weak pass defenses. He threw for 296 yards and three touchdowns against the Jaguars in week 10, and 333 yards and three scores versus the Bucks in week 11. The Eagles are the second softest opponent for fantasy quarterbacks this season. And guess what? Purdy is going to show them what they didn't get to see in last year's playoffs. He is a very strong QB1 fantasy option this week. And those are my bold predictions for week 13. And I'm calling it with Captain Morgan. All right, let's get our guest in here. Victoria Geary of Football Guys, longtime friend of the show, somebody who is always near the top of the standings in our International Dynasty League. You can find her on Twitter or X at FFB_Victoria. And for better or worse, she's also a Bills fan like me. And I know we had Mike Leone on a couple weeks ago. Him and I were mourning the Bills season a bit then. We will try not to do too much of that today. I can't make any promises here, but we're not going to talk about the Bills the whole episode. Victoria, welcome back to the show. How have you been? I mean, putting aside the Bills stuff, they're just finding new ways to break our hearts each week, but how are you?
Let's not say we did. I'm sure you covered it a ton back then, but yeah, you should put it perfectly. Finding new ways to break our hearts, or the same way. I'm doing okay. I cannot believe we only have 2 weeks for most of us left in the regular fantasy season. I'm fighting for some playoff spots here in some and looking okay in others. So I'm excited to see how it plays out.
Yeah, it's going to be a really exciting stretch. And we constantly keep getting like news that just shakes everything up in the fantasy landscape. We'll start with the biggest news of the week. That's the Jonathan Taylor injury. And I had no idea that Taylor was going to be seriously hurt after Sunday's game. Apparently the Colts didn't even know either, because Shane Steichen said that they found out on Monday night. We got the news on Tuesday. Taylor's going to be out now with this thumb injury, underwent surgery today. So far, they haven't put him on IR, and by the sounds of it, I don't think they're planning on doing that. He's still going to be out, it seems, 2 to 3 weeks, possible that it could extend longer depending how the recovery goes. And now that puts Zach Moss right back into the starring role in the Colts offense. He was outstanding early in the season when Taylor was sidelined. Could just be a huge difference maker at the most important time in the fantasy calendar. So, Victoria, how are you valuing Moss this week? And then, you know, what's your outlook for both him and for Jonathan Taylor the rest of the season? How are you approaching these guys?
Yeah, I'm thinking this week, top 15 for sure at a minimum. Rest of the season, probably similar viewpoint depending, like you said, on when we expect Taylor back. If it's longer than the 3 week period they say, then you've got a league winner on your hands. Just what a whirlwind. Have we ever seen a backup come back to relevance like this twice in one season? And also the fact that it's Zach Moss, you know, but I love to see his success he's had with the Colts, right? He was arguably already the best running back handcuff to have on your bench before Taylor came back. And he had three top 15 finishes, even with Taylor back in the lineup. I think he had two without. Running back 22 overall in the season. Upcoming schedule, nothing too scary. He's got Tennessee, Cincinnati, and Pitt here. I mean, nothing too scary seeing Chuba Hubbard last week, I think, put up 20-plus against Tennessee. So I'm thinking he's an auto start as long as Taylor is out. We'll see how they ease Taylor back in potentially after this. But yeah, if you stashed him this entire time, congratulations.
Yeah, if you look back, if you just focus in on the first 8 weeks of the season before Taylor really got back to like playing his regular complement of snaps and took over the lead role again, Moss was the RB7 overall in fantasy points per game during those first 8 contests. So I think you're right, immediately becomes a top 15 back, you know, and has RB1 upside every single week for however long Taylor's going to be out here. Shane Steichen, he talked him up this week too, and he really suggested that Moss is going to go right back to that workhorse role. I don't think they're bringing anyone else in. I don't really think they have anybody on the roster that deserves more touches. I mean, Trey Sermon is going to be the new backup that you could pick up for fantasy, and the window for him will be pretty short here. It would have to basically be an injury to Moss in the next week or two, but in deeper leagues, you could look to Trey Sermon. He could be somebody that you want to stash, but yeah, Moss, what a strange story here where he got fantasy teams off to a really hot start and, you know, could potentially be carrying teams to the fantasy championship here. Just so bizarre. And really, that's the thing. I mean, with these situations that are changing all the time, you have to stay on top of it. You don't know who's going to just come out of nowhere and help potentially decide a league. I mean, Moss is somebody that you wanted to keep on your bench, of course, based on what we saw early in the season, but I wasn't really banking on him having much value. He, in the last week or so, they did try to get back to like a 1-2 punch, and Steichen talked about that they liked the fact that they brought back the 1-2 punch in those games. So maybe it would have continued and he would have had some flex value, but now all of a sudden you have a potential star in your lineup. And I think that should just be a reminder to everyone that this is the time of year when bye weeks are almost over. We have this like crazy, you know, bye-mageddon, people want to call it, this week where we have 6 teams on bye. But with bye weeks nearly over, you can really start loading up your bench with these high upside backup running backs, or if you want to call them handcuff running backs, you can. But Victoria, who's your favorite right now? Like, if you want to talk about a few guys, you can. Who are the backups, those like high upside guys that we're talking about that you really want to roster on your team that, you know, trade deadlines are over in most leagues, but there are some of these guys still available on the waiver wire. And I know that because I keep mentioning them every single week in my waiver wire column. And a lot of them are like right up by the 50% cutoff that I use in that article, but they're still available in over half of leagues. So who are some of these guys that, you know, have really high ceilings if they do get a chance down the stretch?
I know this guy might be likely rostered in more than 50%. Keaton Mitchell, he's just so intriguing to me. See if the coaching staff sticks to their word and involves him more after this bye this week. They've been raving about him. I think he can continue to be startable even as a flex. I know Gus Edwards kind of came back down to earth last week, but Keaton Mitchell saw 20, 13, 5, and 11 points without like a crazy workload, right? And his snap share each week has been increasing, starting in week 9 at 18%, then 24, 36, and 46. So it seems like the coach speak has been pretty accurate in terms of getting him more involved week to week. Again, I have seen, oddly enough, in a couple of my leagues that he was dropped over this last waiver cycle because, you know, people don't have enough patience these days to be waiting. So if he is there, look at who people dropped this week in your league and see if he's there for the taking. But be really intriguing. He's so explosive. I'd love to see him have a higher workload there in Baltimore.
And one of those guys that's like never going to get 20 touches probably, but he doesn't need it. He can get it done on 10, 12, 14 touches. Like you said, just so explosive. And we've seen it so many times already with him that he's breaking these long runs. We know how good the Ravens are at running the ball. So I think, yeah, he's almost graduating potentially after that last game. I think he's almost graduating out of this group. Like, he's pretty close to being declared maybe the top back in that backfield, though they're always going to have some sort of committee. They're going to continue to have Gus Edwards involved, but Mitchell's certainly a good call. Who else do you have on your list?
I got another Mitchell, Elijah Mitchell. That's kind of the most obvious here, of course, for your CMC handcuff backup. Outside of Moss, maybe one of the best to have on your bench as these fantasy playoffs approach. 49ers have a fairly easy schedule going forward. They've been pretty good, though, in managing CMC's workload. And, you know, he's been healthy, thank goodness, for our CMC teams this year. But always a nice stash to have on your bench there as well.
yeah, the 49ers schedule in the playoffs is pretty good. And Mitchell's the one that surprises me every week because I think he's only rostered in like 17% of leagues, I think it was, when I wrote that column on Monday. And that just blows my mind. I know, like, maybe not the sexiest name recently because he hasn't done that much, like you said, because there hasn't been that CMC injury. But all it's going to take is for, and we don't want to see this happen, but if McCaffrey limps off the field at any point, all of a sudden, Mitchell becomes that guy, kind of like Moss, who is a top 15 play potentially. So I really like that call. I'll throw out a couple here too. I mean, I'll get some more from you if you have more on your list. But, you know, Tajay Spears on the Titans, he got a little banged up last week. But if something were to happen to Derrick Henry, I know Spears has shown a lot of juice on his touches this season. Rico Dowdle on the Cowboys. At times this year, he has looked a lot closer to Tony Pollard than I ever expected to see. And, you know, now Pollard has come on a bit lately. He's kind of bouncing back, but Dowdle could be a fantasy star in that offense with how well they're playing. If Pollard got hurt, we could all of a sudden see Dowdle get it done. And honestly, like, even a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, he's been playing better than I expected this season. I thought there was nothing left in the tank. On volume, if Ramondre Stevenson, who another guy that has bounced back lately, and he is, you know, right up into that RB1 borderline production lately, but Zeke is somebody who could get it done on volume if Stevenson missed some time. So I don't know if you want to comment on those guys or just keep throwing out some names here if you got more on your list.
I love the Rico Dowdle pick. Gosh, Dallas is crushing it lately, so it would be, I wouldn't be surprised if he had a bigger role there. I don't hate a guy like Tyler Allgeier at the end of your bench. We've already seen him be capable in the beginning of the year, though it seems like maybe Arthur Smith traded for Bijan Robinson in fantasy this past week because he finally used him to, you know, the tune of his first 20-plus fantasy game. But I know he'd be the guy, we know that, so he's a good stash. And I'm still holding out hope for Ty Chandler. We saw him be explosive and capable just 2 weeks ago, and then, of course, he didn't get the run we expected this last week, albeit in a very weird game against Chicago. But disappointing to see his snap count and opportunities go down, but hey, we're not the coaches. We're just fantasy football players here. So, but I love Ty Chandler as a stash too.
Yeah, really strange usage in that one for Chandler. I thought, if anything, I still expected that in this week's game, Madison would be the lead back, but I thought we were getting a lot closer to 60-40 or 50-50, and Chandler takes a complete backseat, though Kevin O'Connell said after the game, he's saying this week that, you know, they are going to continue to get both backs involved. So we don't know how that could change moving forward. And Chandler, certainly somebody that you still want to stash, but maybe not a guy that you can use as a flex like we were getting close to for a couple weeks there. Allgeier is a great one, and he's one that I constantly point out in the waiver wire column, a guy who is just under that 50% rostered mark that I use as the cutoff, but their schedule in the fantasy playoffs is what does it for me. And Bijan Robinson, a knock on wood, we do not want to see him get hurt. I think he's a guy that's going to be a league winner, and we talk about, you know, Moss being great early in the season and then not really doing much in the middle of the year and now potentially exploding down the stretch. Well, Bijan Robinson had some touchdowns early, wasn't really getting a ton of volume, and then, like you said, he's now coming on. He is going to be fantastic as long as he stays healthy, but if he doesn't, their schedule is so good from weeks 15 to 17 that Allgeier, a guy that we saw last year put up huge points for fantasy, he could be somebody that definitely emerges like we could potentially see Moss do now over the next few weeks. I'm going to go a little bit deeper and mention a couple. D'Ernest Johnson, I think he's another one. I highlighted him in my Start, Sit, Stash, Quit column last week as a stash. I talked about him on the waiver wire show on Monday too. He's taken over that number two back job in Jacksonville, and Travis Etienne, he left with a chest injury at one point on Sunday. I thought that was going to be it right there. I thought Johnson might be this, you know, late season breakout, but fortunately Etienne returned to the game. Still, I think Johnson's somebody that's worth grabbing. We thought it was going to be Tank Bigsby, but Bigsby just falling flat in his face every single opportunity he's had, whether it's on offense, whether it's on special teams, just making a ton of rookie mistakes. And Johnson's somebody that could step up if Etienne goes down. Kenneth Gainwell, I think he's interesting. And this is another one. It's mostly because of the schedule. They get the Seahawks, the Giants, and the Cardinals in the fantasy playoffs. So if DeAndre Swift gets hurt, Gainwell probably would be in a committee with Boston Scott or Rashad Penny. They normally like to get other guys involved, but Gainwell would be the back to roster there if Swift was out. And then if you want to go like really, really, really deep, this is a guy that's available in most leagues, Zamir White on the Raiders. And he's on bye this week, so you might not even have to pick him up for this one. You could just wait because there's no chance that there's going to be an injury this week where his opportunity is going to open up. But Josh Jacobs, he's been getting a huge workload recently. And if he breaks down over the final month, you'd see White step in as that main replacement. And the Raiders also have a couple good matchups in the fantasy playoffs. So I think Victoria hit on the top names there. I agree with all the ones she said. And I'm trying to run down and get a little deeper because I know there's always people. Every time I talk about this stuff, every time I put out the waiver wire column, there's people that go, well, those guys are already rostered in my league. And that's why when I do the waiver wire column, I make sure that I'm going so deep that there's some guys in there that are 0% rostered across all leagues. And what we're trying to really do here with this stuff, though, is, you know, we're trying to get everybody ready for this final playoff push. Like you mentioned, you know, we got some teams that we're trying to get into the playoffs, teams that are already set up for the playoffs. We're trying to get them prepared and look ahead to pick up defenses and to get our lineup set. And I think knowing the backups to stash, I think that definitely helps. In the last couple of weeks here, we've been trying to go over stuff like, you know, the players with the best playoff matchups and the guys who we think can get hot down the stretch. I normally try to stay on the positive side of all this, but Victoria, we're going to go the opposite way with it here for a little bit. So is there anybody that you're worried about the rest of the way? Any players that maybe aren't confident putting in your lineup or who maybe are outright just going to bench here in the next few weeks because you just don't trust them based on matchup or based on what's happening in their offenses?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't want to go in the negative direction, but here we are. I mean, here's a guy I picked up after week one after he was dropped, Adam Thielen. I did a show a few weeks ago with Football Guys declaring Adam Thielen is going to finish as a top 10 wide receiver on the year. And everything was looking a lot rosier back then. And then Frank Reich gave up play calling, kind of went downhill a bit. And then he said, I'm going to take it back. I thought, oh, we're back. We're back in it. Thielen's going to be back. Last week in what was supposed to be a plus matchup against Tennessee, he finished with his lowest target total and reception total the entire year, a dud. And he's got not that particularly great of a schedule coming up. Tampa Bay, New Orleans, Atlanta, Green Bay, Jacksonville, especially New Orleans and Atlanta, tougher with the corners there. But now we throw in this added element of who knows what the heck the Panthers are going to look like now that Reich has been pushed out from head coach. So definitely worried here. He does have a nice matchup this week against Tampa Bay, so we'll see if he can bounce back. But after that, I'm definitely worried here.
Oh, and I feel so bad too, because a few weeks ago I was advising a friend that I work with. He was trying to make a trade and I was like, yeah, it's a great deal for you. Get Adam Thielen back in the trade.
Oh,
and
no.
He was so excited about it. I was excited for him. And then in the two games since, he's done basically nothing. So yeah, maybe a little bit of bad advice from me on that one for him. But you never know. Like you said, with the coaching change, maybe we'll see a shakeup. But a veteran player like him fading down the stretch at his age, kind of not that shocking, potentially. Maybe we should have seen this coming. A guy for me that I'm looking at in this category is Tua Tagovailoa. And he's another one that has a great matchup this week and really a decent one next week as well. But then he gets the Jets, the Cowboys, and the Ravens. And that is just a murderer's row for pass defenses. So I feel like you have to downgrade Tua in those games. And I'm really happy for Trevor Lawrence that he's like woken up the last couple weeks, but he's also done it in a couple decent matchups. He did it against the Titans and the Texans. Coming up, though, he gets the Browns in week 14, and then he gets the Ravens in week 15. And, you know, it's not so bad in week 16. He gets the Buccaneers. So if you're still around for that week, you might be able to play him, but I don't think you can have him in your lineup for week 14 and 15, the games leading up to that week 16 performance. So, you know, and I think that also extends to Calvin Ridley and to Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram. Those are just going to be really tough matchups for that Jacksonville passing game. So I don't know that I'm really going to feel great about having any of those guys in my lineup leading up to, you know, the week before the fantasy playoffs start and that very important first week of the fantasy playoffs.
Don't say it ain't so, Calvin Ridley. What a what an up and down there for him this year. I think, if you don't mind, I've just got another, just one more package deal we can discuss.
Yeah, keep throwing them out. Yeah, I got a couple I could mention here too.
Sure. Kenneth Walker and Zach Charbonnet, I am definitely worried about. Geno Smith has made us feel a bit silly this season, and when I say us, I'm talking about myself, for, you know, thinking logically, saying the Seahawks are adding another weapon for Geno Smith with JSN. How could he possibly turn into a pumpkin again? And here we are. I mean, he's just not looked, you know, like himself from last season. And the matchups ahead for these two running backs in particular are, I don't know if it gets worse. Dallas, San Fran, Philly, Tennessee, Pittsburgh. I don't know if it gets worse than that for stingy run defenses. And Walker, I mean, he had 19 attempts in week 10. That was sandwiched with games where he had 8, 9, and then 4 opportunities in the game he was injured. He might be dealing with a lingering injury issue these next couple weeks. And then even when Zach Charbonnet came in to take over for him in his debut, you know, he had 21 and 18 total opportunities, and he came up short. He only had about 13 and 10 PPR fantasy points, and nothing to be super excited about. That's one of those where, you know, Walker, you were stashing Charbonnet excited and then kind of felt like he maybe put up a dud last week. But I definitely am worried about both of those guys for their matchups ahead.
Yeah, I had them on my list too. And this is one of the funny things about fantasy, right? Like, if Charbonnet got this opportunity in better matchups, everybody would just be falling all over themselves excited about him, right? Because he'd be putting up good stats. I think he's a really good running back. I don't think his performances in these games are telling us anything negative. I just think he's gotten this opportunity at the worst possible time in the schedule. And that's unfortunate. And maybe, if anybody in your dynasty league, if you don't have Charbonnet, if you're looking to get Charbonnet, this is the time to do it, because people might be down on him thinking that, you know, he's a back that isn't going to be able to produce, when in reality, if he had better matchups here, I think he would be a guy that would be crushing it, potentially putting up, you know, RB1 numbers for fantasy. So that's something to keep in mind. I'll throw out another one here too. If anybody's wondering why I had Dalton Schultz so low in my rest of season rankings, it's partially because a lot of his big games occurred when some of the other receivers were hurt. And I did see Tank Dell, he's missing practice today as a calf issue. We'll keep an eye on that. I'm pretty sure, though, he's not in danger of missing the game this week. But either way, Schultz's playoff schedule, he gets the Titans, the Browns, and the Titans again. And Tennessee, they give up the second fewest fantasy points to tight ends. The Browns, they allow the fewest, so very tough to overcome that. And we have some other tight ends that have been coming on lately. I think Schultz, for me now, is outside of that tight end one range. I think he's outside of the top 12 and somebody that I'm not going to be using during the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, I love those picks. Love, but hate those picks. Oh, this is such a depressing topic. I think two more quite obvious players that I'll name here. We're worried, and now it's kind of like, oh boy, we'll pose the question to you. Are we at the point where we'd potentially bench these guys? Cooper Kupp, maybe a little bit more so than Ja'Marr Chase. I'll start with Chase. I mean, we already worried with him a little bit of a rocky start to the season. Then he starts getting into his groove and, you know, Burrow's out for the season. And with Jake Browning at quarterback, just 9 and 12 points, only 7 and 6 targets, nothing too terrible, but I want to say those matchups there with Browning were pretty tough. Baltimore and Pittsburgh, with Joey Porter having a year over there. His upcoming matchups aren't terrible, but my expectations now for him are pretty low, and this is a first-round pick we're talking about here that you used on him, so you hope that you maybe hit in the later rounds, got a jackpot with guys like Mike Evans or Michael Pittman to get you through, or waiver wire hits like you mentioned, Tank Dell. I'm a little less worried about Ja'Marr Chase than Cooper Kupp. I am just at my wit's end here. I've been debating starting him for multiple weeks in a row. And then, of course, each week in, week out, oh, why did I do that? So, and I don't know if it's more of a product of his injury lingering, Matt Stafford, the matchups, or Puka Nacua is just coming on strong. But I'm extremely worried about Kupp there too.
Yeah, Chase becoming more of a volume play, a guy that I still think you can start, but a guy who the expectations, the projections have to come down for him. And then Kupp, I agree with you. He's been such an enigma here. I feel like the injuries are certainly part of it. Last week, he seemed to get hurt early in that game too, and he was trying to come back from an injury in that game. So I think all of that's just adding up to what's amounting to almost a bit of a lost season for him, unfortunately. And it makes it tough. Somebody that you definitely don't want to leave on your bench, but you'll have to make some tough decisions if you have Cup, and I'll recommend that anybody takes a look at my rankings for the week to see where I have him. I think right now I have him as a low-end wide receiver too, but he could fall even farther if we don't see him bounce back soon. All right, let's finish it off with some rapid fire. You've done this before, so quick answers only. You can give a little context though, and I have to do it. We've avoided the Bills stuff, but my first question, and this is the only Bills question here, will they make the playoffs this season?
Oh my gosh, I can't believe we're asking this. I can't believe I'm saying this either. I don't think so. I think they have to be perfect the rest of the way.
When I had Leone on a couple weeks ago, I'm pretty sure that I said I thought the odds were stacked pretty heavily against them. And now after that Eagles game, I think it's a pretty big long shot for them to make the postseason. So pretty shocking after how lucky we've been the last few years with them being contenders. We had some news come down this afternoon before we started recording that the Jets are opening Aaron Rodgers' 21-day practice window to see if he can come back and play this year. I saw some people immediately go pick Rodgers up in some of the leagues that I'm in. I think it seems almost impossible, you know, after he suffered an Achilles tear in week one, that he's going to come back. I have my doubts that we're going to see him at all, but I will ask you, will Rodgers play in a game this season?
I'm sitting here facepalming like, no, that man, I think he maybe just didn't get enough hugs as a child, and now we're all paying for it with his attention seeking. So
he definitely loves the attention.
And you just reminded me too, I did see a person from my work league pick up Rodgers, so you reminded me that I had to go talk some smack in the work chat to make fun of him a little bit for it.
Right before we started, I screen grabbed the one league where the guy picked up Rodgers and I sent it to the league chat, so I highly recommend doing that. Is Pat Freiermuth an automatic fantasy starter again after that big performance last week?
I think so. Startable top 10 tight end rest of the way, yes.
Speaking of tight ends here, so where's the tier break for you? I had someone ask me this last week. Where's the tier break for you when it comes to tight ends that you feel comfortable starting in the fantasy playoffs? How many tight ends would make that cut?
Oof. When you say comfortable, if I'm being honest, I'm comfortable starting, you know, our top 5 or 6, but ultimate tier break, maybe around tight end 10, it starts getting dicey after guys like David Njoku, Schultz, Pat Freiermuth. Like, after that, it's kind of a dice roll there for me.
Yeah, like, you could start someone like Logan Thomas, and I say that as someone that has Logan Thomas in one league where I'll be starting him, but that's a 14-team league, and, you know, with the injuries that you have at tight end, that's why I'm going with him, and the trade deadline has passed, so there's not much else I can do. My team's headed for the playoffs, and I will be starting Logan Thomas, but I think when you get to that range, you can't feel comfortable by any means. So yeah, I'm with you that those are the kind of tiers, the top 5 or 6 you feel really good about, and then after sort of 10, 11, 12, that's when you really start to have some questions. Who's your favorite redraft stash at the moment?
Redraft stash. Probably one of those running backs we talked about earlier, Keaton Mitchell or Tyler Allgeier.
All right, and then the last one, which player is being overlooked heading into week 13?
Oh, I think I'm going to say Josh Downs at Tennessee.
All right, and that is all for today's show. Make sure you're following Victoria over on Twitter or X at @FFB_Victoria. Always great catching up with you, Victoria. I mean, you know, even though the Bills are trying to ruin our lives this year, you know, I appreciate you coming on, knowing that we would have to talk about it. We talked about it a bit before the show. I try not to mention it too much on the show, but, you know, great having you on and trying to help get everybody prepared for making this playoff push down the stretch. And I know you're always busy with the day job, but is there anything that you've been working on fantasy-wise that you want to highlight before we let you go?
No, you can catch me on some of the Football Guys shows here and there week to week, but that's about it, yeah.
All right, great stuff. Good luck the rest of the season. As for me, no Thursday mailbag show again this week, unfortunately, but I'll have the rankings updates done, and then I'll be back on Friday with Start, Sit, Stash, Quit and the injury updates episode. So until then, big thanks one more time to Victoria. Big thanks to all you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Said leave on time. My baby said leave on time. Leave on time with me.